Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you, like right now. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. The general subject this month is that of worship. And if you have a question about true worship, or perhaps there's something else you'd like to talk about, well, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. And the lines are open to Bob Christopher right now.
Well, thanks. Worship is really a matter of the heart, and there's no better way to detect what's really going on in the heart than to talk about money. And so we're going to talk about that today and talk about giving, because worship and giving are really two things that go hand in glove. Our giving is an outflow of our worship of the one true God. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to explode a couple of myths or a couple of things that are out there in kind of the common mind, you know, what we all think and say about money, such as, you know, you can tell where your heart is by your checkbook or your calendar. And we're going to talk about that in light of a couple of passages. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the grace of giving and how that really is an outflow of our genuine, authentic worship of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is important stuff, people. So, you know, most of us start to squirm a little bit when we even hear the word money coming from a ministry or a pulpit or something like that. We're like, oh, no, here it goes again. But this really is about your heart. This is about what God is interested in. He's interested in your heart and what you are storing up in your mind and in your heart. And that's what this passage in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, all the way down through 24, is really talking about. And he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, let's stop right there and talk about a few of these words. The word treasure is a very interesting word in the Greek. It is the word thesaurus. So we know that from our thesauruses that we look in, and we find like words. Well, it's a storehouse of words with like meaning. You know, that's what it is. And so it's a very handy tool for us. But here it's talking about treasures or riches or wealth, anything that is laid up in store for future use. But it also has a spiritual meaning. It talks about spiritual treasures pertaining to the mind or to eternal life. It can also be translated as a treasury. So it's not just treasures, but it can be the treasury, the place that we store up things. It is translated, for example, in Matthew 13 or 12:35 as a storehouse. It kind of harkens back to Malachi, bring all of your tithes into the storehouse. So it's a place where you're storing up things for future use. So it can be the storehouse of the mind, where we're embracing the truth about the gospel and the truth about God and the truth about His finished work and the truth about the benefits that that finished work brings to us. So it can be treasures or riches, and it can be a place where things are stored, the storehouse of the mind, for example. I think that's important, because that really gets to, I think, what Jesus is really interested in our hearts. What are we storing up in our hearts? Are we saying in our hearts that wealth is where real life is to be found? Are we saying that material things is where real life is going to be found? So if that's what's in our mind, then our actions are going to follow suit. Then we really will spend money on various things. But it starts in the mind and the heart, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of these inside out issues. if you take this from the outside in, then you're just left with extortion.
Yes.
What you're left with. Somebody is now forcing you to do something you wouldn't otherwise do. But when you take it the way Jesus intends it here, this is an inside-out question, and it's fascinating because it's in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest exposition of the law ever given, and it just cuts right through to the heart because it gets to our attitudes. Here's what I want to do, but here's what I'm going to go ahead and do because I want to look good. This
yes.
isn't about looking good. This is about having a conversation with God on the inside.
Absolutely. Why? Because God is interested
yes.
in your heart. You know, the world has captured it. It was captured the moment you came into this world. Mm-hmm. You breathed your first breath. Your heart was captured by the things of this world. And so your heart was turned toward materialism, toward wealth, toward pride, toward all of the things that the world prides itself on and
yeah.
deems important. But Christ turns the heart.
Yes.
So there's a turning point in life, and the turning point really is directed toward the heart. The heart turns toward God so that you can truly and genuinely worship Him. And one of the ways that we do so is in our giving, and that's what he gets to as we move on. In verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the light is, or our eyes are kind of a look into our souls, what is really going on in our hearts. And then he goes on to say this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if your mind is saying that money is what is going to bring you happiness, then you can't serve God. You're going to love money, and you're going to despise God. You're going to be devoted to money and materialism and consumerism and all of those things, and you're going to despise God. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
And I like how Jesus puts it in such black and white terms. There's no gray. There's no shades of gray in this. It's not a nuanced statement. It's just either... It's a binary decision, isn't it?
Yes.
It's either a one or a zero in computer language. And that's how we need to make it that simple. We need to keep it that simple. So what's in your heart? And hopefully the gospel has turned your heart to worshiping the one true God, and your heart has now become a storehouse of all of His love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness. And if that's the case, you can count on that heart, from that heart flowing gifts that are going to serve and help others make their hearts a storehouse of the goodness of God.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We would love for you to be a part of the conversation today. And in line with what Bob and Richard are talking about, you know, friends, there are several important aspects to the successful delivery of the message Basic Gospel conveys every day. First, of course, is the message itself. It's the message of Jesus Christ given to us by God Himself. Second is a need of the message. It needs to find a receptive audience. Third is a person or people to give or to teach the message. And fourth is for media through which the message can be sent. Now, of course, there's much more to it than that, but the truth is that without funding to pay for all of these things and more, the message just can't be broadcast or streamed, and that's the reason that we come to you to ask your support to make sure the message of God's love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ continues to be available to those eager to hear it. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help, and we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, Life After Therefore, to help you experience the joy of true worship every day. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and just click donate on any page.
Thank you so much for being so clear on that, and we certainly need your help right now. And, you know, we know, and here's what our conviction is, that people who support Basic Gospel, that really is an act of worship on their part. They're not worshiping Basic Gospel, but it's saying, I want people to know about Jesus. I want people to know about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I want their hearts to be formed and shaped by this good news that brings joy to those who receive it. So your gift to Basic Gospel is saying, I want others to know the same thing that I have come to know through my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's when you know that God is moving in your heart. God is compelling you to reach into your pocketbook or into your wallet or into your checkbook and to support, to give of those gifts that God has given you to help someone else. And that's when you know that out of the good store of things that God has placed inside of you are coming positive things to benefit others. What great joy you will find in that. So that's our conviction. When somebody gives to this ministry, we know it's because God's Spirit has moved them to do so. And we are just thrilled beyond measure that God would work in your life in such a way to support Basic Gospel and to help deliver this good news to people all over the world. So when you give, let the Holy Spirit direct the generous outpouring into the lives of others through your gift to Basic Gospel.
Indeed. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net, and we'll send you a copy of the CD series, Life After, Therefore.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles, our good friend Miles. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Hey, Miles.
Good afternoon, Bob. Bob and Richard.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk about something Andrew Farley said recently, talking about working out what is in you, and talk about how we as believers may have to go out to critique the world as it is. So, for example, I'm critiquing capitalism and comparing and contrasting with democracy, and even exploring what Marx said, yet I'm not a Marxist because Marx was an atheist. And in doing so, I'm going to push people's buttons, but I just wanted to say that I do appreciate that you at Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley do stay in your lane, which is to stick to the Bible. But do you agree that those of us outside of ministry really do have sometimes an obligation to go out and perhaps push questions on people to ask them to examine what they're doing and how they're doing it and why in light of the message of Jesus?
Well, Miles, I think that's the way that we find out what's really going on in the souls of people. We ask questions. These different philosophies, you know, Marxism, that's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that's competing for the hearts and minds of people. And so we want to be able to deliver another idea, a new way of being human, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And when all these other philosophies are compared to the gospel message, we're going to find that all those other philosophies fall short, that they're simply hollow. As Paul put it in Colossians, don't be taken captive by these deceptive and hollow philosophies. So I think we need to confront those things, but to do so with the power of the gospel, because the gospel is the only thing that can really transform the heart. People can believe in their minds these different philosophies and think that that's the best way forward. But as they move down that path, they're going to see that its destination is kind of nothing, that it has really no value to them. It doesn't give a better future or a better hope or any of those sort of things. Only the gospel can do that. So in this world, there are competing ideas. And Jesus injected himself into this world and showed himself to be the way, truth, and the life. And so we have, I think, that wonderful opportunity and privilege to to bring Jesus into the culture, to bring Jesus into that marketplace of ideas. And as people honestly examine who he is and his claims and his finished work through his death, burial, and resurrection, I think they're going to see that that anything that they've believed up to that point just doesn't measure up, that it is truly an empty and hollow and deceptive philosophy.
Right. And to that end, I am seeing that everything that's going on in our world points to a failure to transform hearts or have transformed hearts.
Right.
And so I'll critique even my wife's religion. She's Roman Catholic. And I called earlier about how there was, back in 1452, this doctrine of discovery, which is actually incorporates the word go out and seize lands for profit. And you said, well, you don't think that's very, very much in line with the way, the truth, and the life. And indeed, the most recent pope has issued edicts that do question the way we proceed in our economy, and that it's often out of touch with the gospel. So, in other words, I guess I'm saying maybe you can't, at basic gospel, because you can't take a political position such as, we support Trump or we support Hillary Clinton. You have to stay pure, but for those of us outside, we can come back to draw on you as the source, but yeah. Use your
position to. And certainly there are governmental regulations, that dictate to a nonprofit 501c3 organization that you need to be faithful and pure to your mission.
So
if you're raising funds to advance a certain mission, don't stray from that. Keep focused. Keep doing what you've organized to do. So that's one thing. But then in our hearts, we believe that the only way forward is through the gospel, that regardless of what happens as far as the philosophies of the world, the different political platforms and solutions that they offer, despite of all of those things, there's something of more value, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And we believe that he is the answer. He truly is the way, truth, and the life. That's just not words. That's not just a verse in the Bible. We've seen the reality of that in our own lives individually, in our families, and within church settings. We've seen the power of the gospel transform lives. And as the power of the gospel transforms individuals, it starts transforming these units of individuals, such as families, such as neighborhoods, such as communities, such as churches, such as cities and towns and that sort of thing. So it has that ripple effect. So we want to deliver the good news, and we would do so whether we were organized as a 501c3 or not. Why? Because we have that conviction that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And I was talking to a group of guys, and Richard, jump in on this. When we look at the biblical story, the narrative, and where it starts, there's this creation, and heaven and earth are joined together in that Garden of Eden. God walks among the garden, and he has relationship with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve have relationship with him. And there's this vocation that Adam and Eve are a part of, and that's reflecting the image of God to the world around them. And that's what they were created to do. And then all of that changed when they decided that it was of more value to them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that plunged all of mankind into ruin, and it placed all of mankind at the wrong tree, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So human history has basically been different forces of good and forces of evil maneuvering to turn the world either to the good side of the tree or to the bad side of the tree. And so it's like the forces of evil are on one side of the rope, and the forces of good are on the good side of the rope, and they're just tugging back and forth. And at different points on the historical timeline, we see that things are kind of on the good side, and then other times we see them kind of on the bad side. But that's kind of the world. That's the struggle of the world. But there's this other tree, and Jesus has entered into our world as that other tree, the tree of life. And he is bringing people away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil back to the tree of life. And then we are becoming real humans, and we are experiencing a better way of being human, the original way of being human, and that's through faith in our Creator. And so now, as those of us are gathered around this tree of life, we have an opportunity to project this new way of being human out into the world. And so as we do, more and more people are letting go of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and are grabbing hold of this new creation that God has brought about in Jesus. So that's now our vocation as children of God, to enter in to this marketplace of ideas and to present a new and better way of being human through true, genuine worship of our Creator that is expressed in a dependent walk of faith in Jesus. That's what we get to do as believers, and it's an incredible privilege to move people away from the wrong tree and get them attached to the right tree, where real life is to be found. That other tree, even though it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's really the tree of death, because as soon as Adam and Eve ate of it, they died. They died spiritually, and all of mankind died with them. And in essence, what Satan did through his craftiness was to make Adam and Eve fall in love with death. And the world has fallen in love with death. And, you know, there's a portion of the world that wants us to be on the good side of death and a portion that wants us to be on the bad side of death. But God says, no, I want you to have life. And that life is through Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we might have life and have it to the full.
Yeah.
So we need to have the courage and the guts to enter into that marketplace of ideas. And just as Paul did in Athens, to present some strange ideas to the ears of the lost, that this Jesus came into this world. He was God in human flesh. He offered himself up as the once-for-all sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. He was raised back to life so that we could have life everlasting. That's strange. That's a strange idea to the ears of the world, but to those who receive it, it's the power of salvation. So,
amen to that. Thanks, guys, friend. You do it without adding to the basic gospel. That's what I love about you guys.
Hey, thanks, yeah, Miles. Thanks for your call. We sure do appreciate, love your questions,
yeah,
my friend.
Always great to hear from you, Miles. God bless you, my friend. Friends, got a question? Can't get to the phone while we're actually live on the air? That's at 3 o'clock Central Time daily. Well, you can voice it or write it 24/7 at basicgospel.net/ask. And soon you'll hear your voice with your question on Basic Gospel. Again, that's basicgospel.net/ask. And in line with what you're talking about today, friends, you know, we were made to worship God, to rejoice in His beauty, His goodness, His grace, but many people find themselves drained of life because they've chosen to worship things wholly unworthy of their praise. Here at Basic Gospel, we want to help you experience the joy of true worship every day by sending you a copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, Life After Therefore. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation to help share the gospel with people all over the world. Again, for your copy of Life After Therefore, simply visit basicgospel.net and click donate. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.